This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, and things are happening. If you haven't heard yet, Donald Trump was shot yesterday. They nicked his ear, and the person behind him was killed. And there were some other people that were injured also. He was in Pennsylvania, which is also known as a blue state, not a ready. And I can tell you that that should have never happened. Should have never happened. They should have had drones out there. I don't believe that the security is correct. There was definitely a malfunction in the police. In fact, some of the people that were there saw this dude on the roof, and they were telling the police, and the police ignored them. You know they want Trump dead, because he knows where all the bodies are buried. There was other ones, too. There was another testimony about a grenade was thrown in front of his podium. It was about 2 feet away or something like that, and it never went off. There's been missiles shot at him while they were flying, and they were shot down. So, again, there's been multiple assassination attempts. But, you know, when you're called and ordained by the Lord God Almighty, he ain't going to let nothing happen to you until it's time to go home. As long as you're walking right with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. So in this, we are watching so many end time events happening. It's hard to keep up with all of them in a global state, you know. And the powers of darkness are still trying to dismantle and stop the vote. They're trying to still approve voting without an ID. Because, you know, they're bringing in all these people from all over the world or opening the borders so they can get a vote. That's called cheating. In fact, actually, there's another word for it. It's called treason. They're committing so much treasonous acts that when he does become president, there's going to be a lot of people removed. We are going to enter a whole new era of time. I'm telling you, time, a whole new era of time. And in that time, in that sequence of time, there's going to be such a transition. And it's going to take time to do this all. It's not going to happen overnight. There'll be a process. And I believe that the completion of it will be by 2030. But in the meantime, it's starting right now. It's already started. But we're going to see all kinds of things happen. New technology, all kinds of stuff. God's got healing equipment for it. He's got all kinds of things going on for us. And, of course, the transfer of the wealth of the wicked into the hands of the righteous. Amen? So in that, we know that the enemy doesn't stop, does he? It says he seeks whom he can devour. He lurks. He sets up schemes. He sets up traps. And it doesn't mean that he takes a day off. We are hard-pressed every day. Amen? We are attacked. We are tempted. There are things that we can't even explain ourselves that we know. There's a knowing within our knowing why we groan, because something's got to change. And we talked about the birth of groaning. Amen? Praise God. Would you grab your swords, please, and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 3, please. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Everyone say all comfort. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with comfort with which we ourselves have comforted by God. So, you're going to fall into stuff, man. Welcome to the earth, you know. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effective for enduring the same sufferings, which what? which we all suffer. So nobody gets away with suffering. Amen. No one suffers more than another. Except for unless you're blowing your self and own sufferings on, you know. And our hope for you is steadfast because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings, so also you be a partaker of consolation, which means comfort. Amen? Comfort. Now, the Holy Spirit is the great comforter. He comes and comforts all of our afflictions and sufferings. And it qualifies us to partake or access the Holy Spirit comforter. And we get encouraged by him. See, one of the places of comfort is being encouraged. Amen? In other words, you're not the only one. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 16. Therefore we what? We don't what? Lose heart. In other words, we don't give up, even though we'd like to. Now, there's a difference between giving up and surrendering. People that give up, the reason why they give up, they go back. See, when you give up, you go back. When you surrender, you're still moving forward. Therefore, we don't lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet our inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are what? Eternal. Sufferings, afflictions, these suffering afflictions... You know, if you're not in the Spirit, amen, you're going to be easily misled. You're going to step into these sufferings and afflictions because this is a part of the enemy's plan. And its purpose is to alter or redirect our sight. Our what? Sight. See, because he wants us to stay in a place of what we only see, not looking through what we don't see. Look into the other realm. He doesn't want you to look beyond the temporary. Right? God wants us to look into the eternal. It's the eternal sight of hope. Hope. There's peace. There's comfort. There's a future. There's an identity in this all, always. So the enemy comes in all the time and trying to block, mislead, misdirect, bring discouragement. He brings oppression. One of the ways he brings oppression is through deprivation. Deprivation. In other words, he's trying to convince you that God's holding something back from you. Deprive you of something. Does everybody understand that? And today's teaching is called spiritual deprivation. How many people feel deprived these days? Thank God we don't live by how we feel. We'd be a mess. Romans 8:18. For I consider what? That the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be what? Revealed in us. So does the powers of darkness want the glory of God to be revealed in you? No. For the earnest expectation of creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. So all God's creation is waiting for me and you. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. This is what the enemy's trying to prevent. Why? Because he's the ruler of corruption. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. In other words, he's trying to prevent that birth of light, that birth of glory. He wants to get us depressed, misled, misdirected. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope. But hope that is what? Is seen is what? Not hope. For why does one still hope for what he what? See. So God gave the confirmation in the scripture, didn't he? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for what? Perseverance, endurance. We are entering a time of fulfillment. Turn to your neighbor and say, it's a time of fulfillment. As we gradually birth the glory of Christ into this realm that will break chains of deprivation. It's a misunderstanding or a delusion that we are being deprived of many things so that we take we take back steps and we take things back into our hands. And then we begin to do our will instead of God's will. See, if the enemy can convince you through the spiritual deprivation that God is holding something back, like healing, it can bring a person into a place of depression. Well, God doesn't love me. How many times did the devil tell you God didn't love you? Don't raise your hands. We put our feet up in the air too. Or that God's not hearing you, or that God's holding something from you, or whatever it may be. That deprivation spirit is attacking humanity, not just me and you. It brings also not only oppression, but fear. These open doors of sickness, diseases, and stuff like that too. Hallelujah. Well, when we take it into our own hands, then we got to deal with it. Only the things that are in God's hands are warranted. Anything in your hands is no warranty. Psalm 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not what? I won't want. Well, if the Lord is truly your shepherd, you know he's going to meet every need according to his riches and glory and far above all you could ever ask or think. The whole thing is that the enemy's telling you God's holding it back because it's not happened yet. Amen. It's not happened. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul and leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before for me in the presence of my what? My enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Spiritual deprivation. Many times we put the blame on God why things happened or why they didn't happen. That he's holding something from us as though he's depriving us. Instead of, he's protecting us. See, when God holds something back, there's a reason for it. It's called protection. It's not his time. Why? Because it can harm us in the future. Amen? Or he can cause you to want to dig deeper. He might want you to go spiritually deeper to get a more of a spiritual understanding of what's going on. He has his reasons. I didn't say we had to agree with them all. But we've got to submit to them all. In Genesis chapter 3, in verse 1. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch, lest you what? Die." So she knew what God said, didn't she? Amen. Then the serpent said to the woman, He lied. You shall not surely die. So he planted a corruptible seed, didn't he? Now, this is the most powerful thing. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened. And you'll be like what? You'll be like God. Huh. Knowing good and evil. You'll be like God. So she partook. Knowing that her hope was to be like what? Like God. Does everybody understand that? For God knows in the day you eat, you will be like him. The serpent lied, promoting spiritual deprivation, that God was holding something back. To be like God. This enticement caused Eve to see another path of life through deceptive and destructive ways, not understanding it. It took back her surrender to God's will and to her own will. She took it back into her own hands. She chose to do what she felt was more beneficial for her. Does everybody understand that? And the spiritual deprivation was created and released into this realm. Everybody wants to be somebody. We were born to be somebody. We were created to be somebody. But we were born in an arena where we believed that we weren't somebody. Because we were always told we needed to be like this or be like that, or you needed to do this or needed to do that. So that put us in a spiritual deprivation ourselves. That we were always being deprived. Why can't you be like what's... that means you were deprived. See, we carried these all of our life. And that comes back and bombards you all the time. Why can't you be healthy like this person? Why are you sick like this? Do you understand? Because why hasn't God healed you and healed this person? Why has God blessed this person and not that person? He's always trying to bring us to that place of deprivation. Why? It brings oppression. It brings heaviness. It brings discouragement. For some people, it brings suicide. But it prevents us from doing God's will. And then what happens is an individual only takes so much and they begin to take back their will, not trusting God all the way through. Then they walk in fear. Is everybody okay? The same thing happened right in the garden. And it's happening today. And you'll be attacked with it daily. Isaiah 14, verse 12. But to say how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weaken the nations. For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the what? Most High God. Here's God's response. Yet you shall be brought down to hell, the lowest depths of the pit. Be like God. He believed he was deprived of his positional rewards. He wanted more recognition and praise. You know any people at your jobs that want that? They wanted more money. Believing that it is their recognition. See, more money doesn't represent recognition. Hello, does everybody understand that? We're not looking for money to be our recognition. We want to please God, not money. See, because when you get in position in an area, you don't have to chase money. God makes a way. It'll eventually follow you. Why? What does he say? He says, you know, test me on these things, right? That I won't overflow you with blessings. That I won't put you in a position of prosperity. But so many people want it now. And then the enemy tells them, God's holding them back. I've seen so many people marry people because of the spiritual deprivation out of God's time. Afraid that they're going to lose that person or that somebody's holding it back or God's holding it back. We want it now. We're born up as a, we want it now. Amen? I don't know a kid that doesn't want it now. I mean, we all want it now, don't we? I mean, let's be real. I don't care if you're an adult kid. You still want it now. But when you walk in the Spirit, things are different. You learn through sufferings to trust God. Amen? I mean, how many times have we had, how many mistakes do we need to make before we finally get it? Sometimes many, unfortunately. How many times, man, I can't believe I did it again and again and again and again. See, compromising will also lead into that same thing. If the enemy knows he can suck you into compromise, he can bring you to that place of deprivation where God is holding something back or somebody's holding something back. Well, my boss isn't recognizing me. Well, what about God? Amen. Ezekiel 28, start at verse 1. The word of the Lord came to me again, saying, Son of man, say to the prince of Tyre, thus says the Lord God, because your heart is what? Lifted up. And you say, I am a what? I am a God. I sit in the seat of gods, in the midst of the seas. Yet you are a man and not a God. Though you set your heart as the heart of a God. Well, that sounds like the Democratic Party, don't it? Sounds like all the present-time Pharisees and Sadducees. Behold, you are wiser than Daniel. There is no secret that can be hidden from you. With your wisdom and your understanding, you have gained riches for yourself and gathered gold and silver into your treasuries. By your great wisdom in trade, you have increased your riches, and your heart is lifted up because of your riches. Wow. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, because you have set your heart as the heart of a God, behold, therefore, I will bring strangers against you, the most terrible of nations. They shall draw their swords against the beauty of your wisdom and defile your splendor. They shall throw you down into the pit, and you shall die the death of the slain in the midst of the seas. Will you still say before him who slays you, I am a God? But you shall be a man and not a God in the hand of him who slays you. You shall die the death of the uncircumcised by the hand of aliens. For I have spoken, says the Lord God. Now this is a word released for all those who've committed treason too. Does everybody understand it? People have no idea what's getting ready to happen. The heart of a God, it's the heart of pride. Not the heart after God, it's the heart of a God. Amen? That's different. The heart of a God is pride. The heart after God is humility and humbleness. The Babylonian system runs by false gods and goddesses because of their wealth and their influence. And what are they influence? Their influence is not true spiritual power, but promoting spiritual deprivation to humanity. That's what they do. And it's been going on for a long time. But God is trying to encourage his people and saying, I'm stepping in. I'm going to begin to break this stuff. I'm going to cause you to birth it. Birth the glory of God and the light that's going to sever all of this stuff. He's given us the wisdom and discernment and the power to overcome this spiritual deprivation. God is not holding anything. He holds everything. But he's not holding anything back from you. Everything is about his time. Amen. may see delays, we may see things move fastly, then all of a sudden stop. Then it may seem like a long period of time, but it's not. We're going to see the battle of time, because the enemy's going to try and influence his time. We're going to see many people globally oppressed, deprived, because the enemy's holding back things that have been given to someone to give to someone. Did God ever tell you to give something to someone? Well, if you didn't, you deprived that person. Does everybody understand that? Now, the enemy may tell you to give something to someone, but it's the enemy telling you that. You're not supposed to do that. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be what? Sober or alert. Be what? Vigilant and consistent. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. And may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have what? Suffered a while. Oh, we love to suffer. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and then what? Settle you. Settle you so you won't be moved again by the same thing. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. What does he say? Cast your cares upon him, for he what? Cares for you. Stay alert. Stay consistent. Resist him in the faith. You're not alone. God isn't holding anything back from you. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun, and looked the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their own oppressors, there is power. Therefore, but there is what? No comforter. Therefore, I praise the dead, who are already dead, more than the living who are still alive. Yet better than both is he who has never existed, who has not seen the evil work done, that is done under the what? Sun. Again, I saw that all the toil and every skillful work of man is envied by his neighbor. This also is vanity and grasping for the wind. The fool holds his hands, and consumes his own flesh. Better a handful with quietness than both hands full together with toil and grasping for the wind. Then I returned and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone without companion. He has neither son nor brother, yet there is no end to all of his labors. Nor is his eye satisfied with riches. But he never asks, for whom do I toil and deprive myself of good? This also is vanity and grave misfortune. Wow. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Oh, hallelujah. Oppression is the fruit of spiritual deprivation. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 27. Jesus said, all things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Well, you wouldn't be here if he didn't reveal himself to you. come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Say what? Learn. Why? If you don't learn, you get burned again. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is what? My burden is light. Learn from me. That takes cooperation, doesn't it? Hallelujah. John 16, verse 5. Jesus said, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me where you are going. But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper, known as the Comforter, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they do not believe in me. Of righteousness because I go to my Father. And you see me no more. Of judgment, because the ruler of this world is judged. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. And he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to what? Come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to who? You. I would say that he's not holding anything back, is he? All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. John 10:10. Let's finish with this verse right here. What did Jesus say? The thief does not come except to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He's come to bring us life and love abundantly. He's not holding anything back. We have to trust, rest, and wait. It's a part of death. And God loves the death of his saints. We die daily, don't we? Amen. He says, pick up your cross and follow, right? Deny yourself. Hallelujah. So we are in a time right now, and be careful so that you don't fall into that area where the devil's telling you God's holding something back. Now, don't get me wrong. I mean, if you're disobedient, he's going to hold something back. Amen? If you're rebellious, he's going to hold something back. If it's not his time, he's going to not release it. Amen? That's all it's to it. Other than that, you have access to the throne room of God. And his benefits are daily for me and you. What does he do? He forgives our iniquities, heals our diseases, crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies, and rescues our life from destruction. Amen. By his stripes we're healed. We just have to stay in that position and that level of faith and not be deprived by the voice of the stranger. Amen. We have to continue to fight and stay strong in the Lord and the power of his might. All things are going to work to the good, no matter what. Even your mistakes, even your sins and transgressions and iniquities, as long as it's under the blood, it's going to work to the good. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Thank you for revealing that spirit that's causing so much problem. We ask, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you'll bring your divine intervention to each and every one in this room. Give us the discernment and the edit to another part of our warfare, so that we may be free from all influence of the enemy, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.